We want to talk about the benefits of the new birth. The benefits of the new birth. We're going to go over to Psalms chapter number 103. And we're going to look at verses number 2 through 5. The benefits of the new birth. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Benefit number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Two, who healeth all thy diseases. Three, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Four, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Five, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, from this text, when we're talking about being born again, we're talking about the Lord blessing your soul. The new birth is Jesus blessing your soul. He's bringing your soul from under the curse of Adam and allowing you to benefit life, or allowing your soul to live. In Adam, according to the scripture, all die. But in Jesus Christ shall man be made alive. In Adam, because of Adam's disobedience, everyone is born in the state or the condition of sin. Romans 5 and 12 confirms that. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Jesus blesses our soul to come from up under the curse of Adam through the new birth. The new birth allows the soul to pass from death unto life. So when you're talking about being born again, you're talking about your soul passing from death unto life. If you're born in the state of the condition of sin, and the wage or the payment of sin is death, you got to get out of that. You got to get from up under that covering. You can't say, "Well, I'm okay as a sinner." No, you're not. You never will be okay as a sinner. I don't care what go on and work out in your life. You will never be okay as long as you are up under that covering of sin. Because sin's wage is what? Death. And that's what the devil don't want you to pay attention to. He don't want you to pay attention to that. He wants you to think that you can get by some kind of way. But no, Jesus told you, except you're born of both what? Water and spirit. Jesus said you cannot even see, nor can you enter into his kingdom. You can't come up under the rule of Jesus unless you are what? Born again. Born again of both what? Water and spirit. You hear me say it all the time. Those are the two keys that unlock that door. You can't have one key. You have one key. You still got a lock that is still not touched. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born of both what? Water and spirit. Water is the baptism that's in the name of Jesus Christ. He told them to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission or for the removal of sin. And once you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, you come up walking in the newness of life, then Jesus tells you to tarry. That word tarry means to wait. Wait until you are endued with what? Power from on high. Holy Ghost is not an earthly gift. It is a gift from out of the heaven. It is a gift that comes from above. That's why we encourage you, or that's why the scriptures tell you to do what? Tarry. Tarry means to do what? Wait. You just stay there until you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is Jesus in you. The Holy Ghost is actually God himself, the one that created the heaven and the earth, the God that made Adam and Eve. That God actually comes and dwells inside of you. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is Jesus coming and dwelling inside of you. When you get the Holy Ghost, that scripture declares that is your seal. That's where the Lord is marking you. He is identifying you as belonging to him. He calls you his sheep. You become my Jesus now. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, you are now my sheep. Jesus declares that you belong to him because you have been born again. And when you say you belong to him, he brings you from up under Satan being your daddy. And Jesus says, you are now my child. Jesus says, this soul doesn't belong to you no more, Satan. This soul belongs to me. Jesus says that, and you say, oh, that's kind of, but I thought the scripture said all souls are his. They are all his. But when you are in your sin, you're sold to sin. Jesus didn't come for you to die. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Jesus' sheep live. They don't die. Jesus' people don't die. They live. That's the truth. Amen. So the devil would love for you to stay up under that umbrella of death. Love for you to stay up under the umbrella of sin. Make you forget all that go on. He make you pay attention to all the stuff that's going on. I had a sister was on the television this week. Her mission, she said, in life was to help people get through or cope with gun violence. That's what she said. Her mission in life was to help people cope with and deal with gun violence. Because she had family members that had fallen victims to gun violence. And she said she was just trying to work hard to help people deal with it. And then all of a sudden, here she gets shot. She gets shot in her face. And she's gone through multiple surgeries trying to fix her eye. Isn't that something? So that lets you see, sin don't care nothing about you. Sin don't care nothing about how you talk about you want to dedicate your life to doing something good. Sin doesn't care nothing about that. Sin just wants you to stay in that state. Right. And somebody say, well, Discutter, well, how could you say that about her? Because all she was doing good stuff. I don't care how much good stuff you do. The devil don't care how good you are, how nice you are. He does not care anything about that. All he does is want you to stay in your sin. Because he knows the wage of sin is death. You can't come to church to get out of sin. You can't read your Bible enough to get out of sin. You can't sing enough gospel songs and listen to enough gospel music to get out of sin. You have to be born again. Right? That's the truth. You got to be born of both what? Water and spirit. Those are the requirements laid out by Jesus himself. And if a person wants that, they've got to do what Jesus says for them to do. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to be born again of both water and spirit. Now you say, Scudder, why are you saying this? Because I want you to see that you are living a blessed life. When you experience the new birth, when you look at Psalms 103 and you even start at verse number 1 where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul can't even bless Jesus. Your soul can't make Jesus happy. Not when you are in your sin, because the scripture says the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. When the Lord sees you and if he sees sin over your life, if he sees sin in your life, you're not making Jesus happy when he looks at you. Therefore, you can't say what Psalms 103 and 1 says, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You can't say that. Why? Because your soul is infected by sin. And you've got to have a mind to say, Jesus, get rid of all of this sin in my life. Why? So that you can be happy when you see me, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. You want to say, Jesus, get rid of all of this stuff. Get rid of all of this sin, this filth that is in my life. I don't want anything associated with me that has to do with sin. Because as long as sin is there, Jesus is not happy. That's the truth, saints. Come on. You might as well understand it and get it fixed in your mind. As long as sin is there, Jesus is not happy. And that's why you got to say, Jesus, I don't want to make you unhappy. Do you think you're going to be able to go back with Jesus and you make him unhappy? Jesus doesn't want to spend eternity with people that make him unhappy. He said he created beasts to make him happy. 24 hours a day, they cry, holy, holy, holy. That's what makes him happy, right? And he definitely ain't going to let you come up there when you're infected by sin. and mess up that holy environment. You've got to get rid of all of that sin. You got to get rid of that filthy thinking, filthy living, filthy talking. All that stuff got to get out of you. You say, Elder Scott, I'm trying. Well, it ain't about you. You need the Lord to deliver you from that. Come on, if you look at verse number 2, verse number 2 says, don't forget the Lord's benefits. Huh? Don't forget the benefits. The benefits that go along with being saved. The benefits of that go along with being born again. The benefits that are going along with you being able to bless the Lord with your soul. Huh? I ain't talking about with your mouth. I'm talking about with your soul. You want your soul to bless Jesus. You want that real you to make Jesus happy. That's what James Cleveland sang that song. And it's unfortunately because that brother wrote some beautiful songs. But his life didn't add up to what he wrote. Huh? See, I'm just gonna, why his life didn't add up to what he wrote? Because he wasn't born again. Huh? He wasn't born again. You have to be born again to make Jesus happy. I don't care how many poems you write. I don't care how many books you write. I don't care how many songs you sing. In order for your soul to bless Jesus, in order for your soul to make Jesus happy, you must be born again, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saints. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is what? Was within me. You can't do that unless you're born again. You can't even get the new birth until you're willing to give the Lord your whole self. Huh? He would ask you, say, what you down there tarrying so long? Because self don't want to let go. You down there calling on Jesus, self don't want to let you go. You down there calling on Jesus, self start trying to fool with your brain, start trying to make you think about stuff, try to make you yawn, talk about how tired you are, how your body is feeling. But a man must be willing to deny himself. He's got to be willing to get out of himself. And you only understand, you people be wondering when you're down there calling on Jesus. Say, Elder Scudder, why are they down there calling on Jesus for so long? I don't know. I can only tell you what the scriptures tell you to do. Scriptures say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if a fella's down there for 5 minutes calling on the name of Jesus and Jesus has not come in yet, the only thing I can conclude is self is still in the way. Huh? Because the scripture is true. The Lord says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord is Jesus, they shall be saved. Now, if you call Jesus for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, all day long, and you still don't have the Holy Ghost coming into you, self is still there. Self is still dominant in your mind. And you've got to get self out of the way. You've got to deny yourself. That's the truth. However it asserts itself. Self is bold. Self wants to be recognized. Huh? Self is all about your feelings. Huh? Oh, yeah. Self is all about your feelings. And you've got to do what? Deny. Huh? You've got to get out of your feelings and concentrate on Jesus. I told you all some time ago, I was tarrying with a young lady, and she was calling Jesus so hard, passionately, and then she just got so overwhelmed with crying and crying and crying and crying. And we said, you got to call Jesus. And she called Jesus, but she just kept getting so overwhelmed with crying. And Bishop was looking at her, and we were looking at her. He said, honey, you got to deny yourself. Well, what was he trying to tell her? All of that crying is keeping you from focusing on Jesus. You realize crying is yourself. You're crying about something. I don't know what you're crying about. I don't know what's going on in your mind. Well, you talk to the person and say, well, I just felt so sorry. It ain't about you. You got to get out of yourself. If you were unworthy, the Lord would have killed you a long time ago. But he saw fit to let you get on your knees and call him by his name, right? So that means he wants you to be saved, right? You were just right for the Lord to save you. No matter how horrible you were. Jesus saying, I look beyond all of that. How you know he looked beyond it? Because he brought you here.
He could have left you out in no man's land. But he brought you right here, a place that is dedicated to his name, right?
That's the truth. We call on Jesus. We call on Jesus. We don't deny you that. We don't deny you the opportunity to get on your knees and call Jesus. We present it at least two or three times during the week. We got prayer service on two nights and a noonday prayer. And then if you really want to be saved, we'll come in anytime you want to come in. You realize this is a 24-hour operation. You mean out of scuttle, you call me at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I got to get on my knees and call Jesus. I'll tell you, get your clothes on and get ready. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Why? Because we want you to be saved. Huh? We want you to receive Jesus. Jesus said his house should always be called a house of prayer. So if anybody ever want to come in here and cry to the Lord, nobody will deny you that. You can stay in here all night long and call on Jesus. Say, I just got to, I'm going to get sleepy. Well, if you, but I want to stay on my knees. Stay on your knees then. Stay on your knees, take your nap. Once you get up, get back to calling Jesus again. Why? Because we want your soul saved. But you can't get saved as long as self is in the way. You need to deny yourself, right? You need to get rid of all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, and you need to concentrate on Jesus. You need to see Jesus in your mind. Huh? You need to get your mind in tune to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you. Huh? Come on. If you're going to cry about anything, cry about the cross. Huh? Don't cry about your feelings. Cry about the cross. Cry because you know Jesus died on that cross. Died on that cross for who? For you. Huh? I realize he was up on that cross dying because he loved me. Huh? I ain't worried about him loving Deacon James. I'm talking about my soul. He died for my soul. He had me on mine, right? He took all of those whips for me. Huh? I was the object of his attention. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. Huh? Who was his joy? I am his joy. Huh? Why? Because I had a mind to say, I don't want to stay in sin, Jesus. I don't want to be in sin. I don't want to stay in sin. I don't like sin, right? That's my attitude. I don't like sin. I don't like nothing associated with sin. All of it is filthy and disgusting to me. It makes me sick. Huh? Sin ought to make you sick. Sin makes me sick. Can't stand the smell of it. Huh? I can't stand the sound of it. I can't stand the feeling associated with it. Huh? That's what you are like when you repent. He would say, oh, said, I'm repenting, but how do you feel about sin? Is it disgusting to you? Huh? Or is it attractive to you? As long as sin is attractive to you, you haven't repented yet. Huh? But when you repent, everything about sin gets on your nerves.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Because you realize it ain't nothing but death.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you got it fixed in your mind, Jesus, I want to live.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't want to die. I want to live. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? So if I want to live, that means I want Jesus. I got to want him more than anything else. Got to want him more than my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, my husband, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I got to want Jesus more than money, huh? More than houses, land. I've got to want Jesus more than anything. He's got to be number one. Not just right now, but all the time. Jesus has got to be number one. Not when I'm just feeling good, when I'm feeling bad. He's still got to be number one, right?
Hallelujah.
I said, that's when you really, that's when you're doing it from your soul. When your soul is really into this. Huh? When your soul is really into getting with Jesus. Staying with Jesus. Making Jesus happy. See, I don't want you to take that psalm lightly. I don't want you to read Psalms 103 lightly. But I want you to understand what the writer is saying.
when he is saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking about the real him. He's not talking about the artificial him. He's not talking about the part of him that people see on the outside. He's talking about the real him. I want to bless Jesus from way down on the end. I want the real me to cry holy, right? I want the real me to cry holy. I want to be holy on the inside. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what an enemy has got to say. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Huh? And what? It doesn't say in some of me. Huh? It says all. All that is with. Does your whole breath belong to Jesus? When I take that message, all of my breath belongs to Jesus. So that when you get down on your knees and call him with all of your breath. Huh? All of your breath has got to be occupied by that name of Jesus. Jesus got to occupy every thought, every breath that you take, right? That's when you're doing it with all that's within you. You don't have time for tiredness. I ain't got time for my feelings. Not when I'm giving Jesus my everything. I'm blessing him with all that is within me. Huh? That's what the scripture says. I'm not telling you to do something outside the word. I'm telling you what the word say to do. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his what? His holy name, right? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. Now you got to be born again to know the benefits. Huh? Oh yeah. You got to be born again to know the benefits. These benefits go a little bit more than the Lord putting food on your table. These benefits are a little bit more than the Lord blessing you with a home, a job, and family. It's more than that. Huh? Notice what benefit number one is. Something that the earth cannot give you. Huh? You can't go to no store and buy benefit number one. Huh? Benefit number one comes from God himself. Huh? He's the only one that can forgive your sin, right? Huh? It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Huh? I don't care how much you work. I don't care how much money you got in your pocket. You can't get benefit number one from nobody but Jesus. Huh? He's the only one. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? I was like, you ain't got nothing to prove to me. You need to go to Jesus, right? You ain't got nothing to prove to me. You ain't got nothing to prove to me. I ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. You need to prove. Do all your proving to the Lord Jesus. I know because I'm here. I'm going to go back. I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're going. Elskata, you was there with me. I don't know what you got. I don't know whether the devil got in you and spoke or whether it was Jesus. But you know, right? You know. You know who you are. You know what you're doing outside these doors. You know what you're looking at. You know how you're talking when nobody sees you. That's your proof. That's your proof right there. That's your evidence. And what Jesus is really there. When you hear me say a fountain don't bring forth both sweet and bitter at the same time, that's your evidence right there. James done told you these things ought not to be, right? That's your evidence right there. Huh? Ain't that a beautiful thing? But the Lord is, he's gracious. He's merciful. He is willing to forgive if you just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. But you got to mean that thing. You got to mean it so that you don't want to do that no more. Huh? Ain't no sense of you saying sorry and planning to do it again later on because you're lying. Huh? But you got to say sorry and not want to do it no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you should get tricked up and you find yourself doing it, you don't walk around with your chest all out. You feel real bad. Huh? You feel real bad. Because at the end of the day, I done let Jesus down. Huh? I think that what Brother Tim was talking to me the other day. Yes, it was the Lord that put that thing on your mind. It'll make you stop thinking about how you feel, but you think about how Jesus feels. Jesus was the one that died up on that cross for you. Think about how he felt. Very ones he made on earth, Here they are questioning him. And he knows he controls every tick of your heartbeat. He controls all of that. And yet he allows you to use his breath to say, crucify him. Now you're talking about how you feel. How did Jesus feel? Knowing he was going to go through all of this, yet he still did it. You say, why? Because he saw joy in front of him. Who did he see joy? I don't know. He see those that want to serve him. See, I'm here because I want to serve the Lord. I'm here because I want the Lord to know I'm in this 100%. I ain't half-stepping with Jesus. I'm conditioning my mind every day. See, I ain't got it all yet. I'm conditioning my mind every day. I got to be into this all 100%. Lord ain't looking for no 99. Because he didn't give you no 99. He gave you 100. And you owe the Lord 100. You owe him 100. We sing that song in the good times. Bless his name. In the bad times, do the same. In everything. Everything. No matter what's going on in your life. Everything. You ought to give Jesus all the praise. Huh? That's the truth. Benefit number one. He said he does what? Forgives. All of thy what? Iniquities. Someone go over to Luke chapter number 7, verse 47 through 48. See if you can see yourself in that scripture.
Wherefore I say unto you.
Yes.
Her sins, which are many.
Is that you?
Forgiven.
Huh? Yes. You don't tell it all. You know just how dirty you are. Mm-hmm. How dirty you are and how dirty you were.
Right, right.
But according to the scripture, sometimes sin is followed by what? A word called many.
Right.
And you, some of you were good sinners. And when I say you were good sinners, I ain't do this, I ain't do that, I ain't do none of that. I'm like, well, Lord, what did you do? I know the Lord done told you you was born in sin.
Right.
According to you, you ain't did nothing. And you must not just want to tell it. But you got to understand the Lord sees it all. He sees it all and he knows it all. But for all of those that are willing to acknowledge how horrible you are and how horrible you were, here goes a scripture for you. To make, when the devil tried to put it in your mind that you are so bad, you can't be saved. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. When the devil tried to put it in your mind, you are so bad that you are beyond being saved. According to this scripture, well, the Lord done told you, though this lady's sins were what? Many. Huh? What are they? And then at the end of the day, I don't care what nobody else says. At the end of the day, it don't matter what nobody else says. Only one you need to worry about is Jesus. And if Jesus done told you your sins are forgiven, you should be happy. Huh? I don't care who come and remind you of who you were. At the end of the day, I'm going to stand before one judge. His name is Jesus, right? He is the righteous judge, right? Going to judge me by that standard of righteousness. And he done told me if he say my sins are forgiven, I can just say amen. I can go to bed good, feeling good. As long as I know the Lord forgave me of my sin. How did he do it? Because you went down in the water in his name. That's why I told you, you can't even rejoice over benefit number one without experiencing the new birth. Huh? Why? Because if you haven't gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins haven't been remitted. They still on you. And if they still on you, you got to pay the price for it. Lord done told you, but if you go down in the water in his name, huh? Peter preached, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the remission. For the remission or for the removal of sin. Huh? In other words, his name removes the sin. Huh? Isn't that a sweet thing? His name removes the sin. But that's why you can really appreciate the name of Jesus with a verse like this. Because even though I don't have physically Jesus here able to tell me my sins are forgiven, he said, I'm going to leave my name on the earth. Huh? Come on. Jesus leaves his name on earth. And what did he leave his name for? For the forgiveness or for the removal of your sin, right? That's the truth.
Say that this woman's sins were many. What did the rest of it say? They are forgiven. What did she do? She loved much. Yes. That's right.
And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven.
What did Jesus tell her?
Thy sins are
forgiven. Somebody go over to 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 12. 1 John 2 and 12.
1 John 2 and 12 reads, I write unto you little children because
your sins are forgiven for what reason? For his name's sake. See why the devil don't want you to go down in the water in the name of Jesus? Because he knows that does what? It forgives you. It forgives you of your sin. Huh? Devil don't care how much you shout, how much you sing, how much you preach, how much of that word you know. But just don't go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because his name does what? It forgives you. Huh? Forgives you of your sin, right? Isn't that a beautiful thought? That's a beautiful benefit to have your sins forgiven. Let's look at benefit number two. He healeth all of thy diseases. Someone go over to Mark chapter number 1 and 34. And someone else get Mark 3 and 10. Jesus heals of all thy diseases. Huh? That's why I can tell you when you're sick, come on to church. Come on to church. Bring your sick body to church. Tell the scutter, but I'm contagious. Just stay on that back road then. Don't let nobody come near you. Huh? Say, are you not here anyway to see how many hands you can shake? You here to get your sickness healed. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. So I don't care how sick you are, drag your body here to church. Drag your body here and let the Lord heal you. Say, Elder Scott, I can't make it. I cannot make it to the building. Well, wherever you are at, in all of your sicknesses, you need to bring your sickness to Jesus. In other words, if they got you confined to a hospital, no, Elder Scott ain't telling you to walk outside that hospital. But I'm telling you, wherever you are at, you let that hospital bed be your altar. Huh? You turn that bed of sickness into your altar. And you go before the throne of grace. Huh? Turn that television off. Huh? Stop ringing that nurse's bell. And get on your face and call Jesus. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, they don't want me to turn my body. Turn your head then. Let the Lord know, Jesus, I respect you. Huh? I honor you. I bless your holy name, right? Your name heals me, Jesus. And I mean, you call on his name. You call on his name until he heals your body. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, I'm in pain. Push your pain medication and call on the name of Jesus. Huh? Elder Scott, they got tubes all in my mouth. That's the beautiful thing about your brain. Huh? Don't you realize words are expressions of thoughts? Huh? Do you realize the Holy Ghost will save you even if you just think on his name, right? Huh? You ain't got to be uttering Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just say it in your mind, right? Ask some folk at the house of Cornelius. Peter was preaching. They weren't talking while Peter was preaching. They were listening. But while the word went forward, Scripture said the Holy Ghost fell on them, right? So that let me know, all in their mind, what were they saying? Jesus. Peter said, Jesus will forgive you. Huh? Yeah, come on, y'all don't know. It's right there in Acts chapter number 10. It's a beautiful thing. I'm trying to get you to that point. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 43. Acts 10 and 43. It says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission. Oh, that means forgiveness of sins. Scripture said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost did what? It fell on them. Which did what? They heard the word, right?
Right.
In other words, they got out of themselves. And they paid attention to what Jesus was saying to them. They let that name ring all in their brain, right? And the Lord ain't going to deny his name. He ain't going to deny his name. I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows your brain better than I do. The Lord is not going to deny his name. When he sees that person gets out of themselves and really wants him, he will answer by fire, right? Just like he did on the day of Pentecost. Scripture said fire is rested on them. It sat on them. And they began to speak with other tongues. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody got their mind on Jesus. Huh? Yeah, somebody got their mind on Jesus. How you know it? Because as Peter said, we hear them. We hear them speaking in tongues. The same as we. That's the truth. All you got to do is have your mind on the Lord. Lord will answer by prayer. Huh? And say, oh, Scott, I'm real sick. I'm going through this. The Lord will answer. Huh? He is a healer. But you got to take care of the soul first. Don't you take care of that body. Forget that body. Forget it. It's going back to the dirt. Focus on the what? The soul. The real you. He does what? He heals what? Not some. Huh? I don't care what's in the book. I don't care what's in the medical book. I don't care whether these people have never seen anybody heal from a disease before. Jesus is a miracle worker. Huh? He does miraculous things, right? He proves himself. Jesus will let you know he's God. Huh? Oh, yes, he will. He will let you know he's got all power. That's what that word omnipotent means. That means he got all power, right? He's got power over all your sicknesses. How you know it? Look at what the scripture say. Mark chapter number 1, what I say, verse number 34? What did he say there? He healed many that were sick and died all kinds of diseases. I don't care how many people are possessed by a devil. Yeah, you got a devil in you. I don't care how many, some people, you look at them, they got a pure demon inside of them. Ain't no sense of you talking sweet to them. They got the devil inside of them. Huh? You look at that devil is raging. I mean, a devil of lust. I mean, they just can't control themselves. You hear these people say, well, they got a sexual issue. It's the devil. It is the devil that got control of their mind. Devil trying to use their body as a tool to sin. And he's making them, he's fooling them, making them think if they just deal with these sexual urges, they'll find contentment. You are a liar. That devil ain't going to never let you be satisfied. You'll jump from bed to bed. Huh? You'll be doing all kind of ungodly things all in the middle of the night when you should be asleep. But what's the wrong? You've got a devil inside of you. And the only one that can deliver you is Jesus, right? And that's only them sexual devils. You got devil demons of money. I mean demons that will do anything for that dollar. They'll sell their children just for that dollar. Huh? Sell their bodies. Huh? You ain't never seen people do that? Just go, you give it to me, I'm going to give it to you. You pay me, I'll let you see whatever you want to see. You got a demon inside of you. Your mind ain't right. Oh yeah, I said it. Your mind is not right. You have a pure demon inside of you. How you say they got a demon? Because they're not able to think rationally. They're not sound in their mind. These chain smokers, every 5 minutes. You know, I heard someone say they go through 5 packs of cigarettes in one day. I said, Jesus, when do you find time to breathe? A pack of cigarettes got 20 in them, don't they? I don't know. I never smoked, so I don't know. But I'm assuming they got 20 in it. So that means if you're going through 5, when do you have time to breathe? But we say, well, they just got bad nerves. That's not bad nerves. That's a demon inside of them. That's a pure devil inside of them. How you know it's a devil? Because the devil is trying to kill him. The devil got his little workers out there. And when you see people out there that are possessed with stuff, and their things that they're doing is trying to kill their body, that's letting you know that's not in their right mind. It's a little bit more than them just being in sin. Huh? You know, everybody born in sin. But then you got those that are in sin that are possessed. Possessed with a devil. Huh? And I don't care how much you try to talk to them. They got the devil inside of you. They send them to psychiatrists, and psychiatrists can't even help them. They say, well, how are you going to deal with that devil? Put him to sleep. Huh? Because when he's up, he's out of control, right? Wake him up long enough for him to eat. After he finished eating, give him another pill. That don't mean the devil left him. He just put him to sleep. Because if you let him wake up, you're going to realize that devil is still alive. And not only is he alive, you done gave him a body that is well rested. So he really going to cut up now. Which is, would you say that little, he said, he's just bad. No, he's a little bit more, he probably got the devil inside of him. Huh? And his mom and daddy probably don't, they probably are sparing that rod. And my mother and father used to tell me, saying, now you're going to get this whipping, and the devil that was in you is going to leave while you're getting this whipping. I thank the Lord mine beat me enough, for the devil that was in me got out of me long enough for me to get my brain straight and find repentance. Say, Jesus, I don't want this devil inside of me no more. I want to do right. I want to be saved. Right? But the scripture doesn't say the Lord just, who knows what they're right to say? He says he went about healing all manner of sicknesses and divers diseases. Huh? And cast out what?
Many devils.
He didn't get a devil's room to speak. Huh? That's sometimes you need to put the devil and tell him to shut up. And not for you to tell, I don't want to hear why you're doing what you're doing. So I'm just gonna, you ain't even let, you brought me into the office and don't even let me talk because I don't want you to talk. I see something in you that I don't want to hear nothing about it. Some devils, you can't negotiate with them. Somebody got the devil in them. First of all, you cannot negotiate with them. That devil is in control. And when they like that, you just need to say what you have to say and move on. Because the more you talk, the more you just feeding the devil. You throw him more fuel. It's just like you talk. That's what I tell my wife sometimes. Just don't say nothing. You hear the devil, get off the phone. That's a beautiful thing about that phone. It don't make you stay on it.
Right.
You can click that red, Mother Best, what did I say? The red button.
Right.
The red button will end the call, right?
Right.
Huh? Right. All you got to do is take that red and swipe up. Huh? And they can call back as much as they want. Every time you see them, red, 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 right? Eventually, they'll get the message.
Right.
And they want to keep calling. Turn the phone, turn the power off. Because what you're talking to is a devil. And the devil means they're going to get their point across and infect. That's one thing about a devil. Devil like to dump. Devil like to infect you with their poison. They don't want no healing. They don't want the healing because healing comes from Jesus. They don't want the Lord to heal them. They want to infect you. They want to dump on you. And then once they finish dumping their poison, they jump right onto another. And here you are still thinking about it. Huh? Still wrestling with that negative feeling. And they're going on about their business. You just want to know how possible it is? That devil will get off the phone with you, cussing you out, and get on another call and text saying, pray for me. That's a devil. Huh? Talking about how good the Lord. That's a devil for you. I just want to share this song with you. This song really moves. You got the pure devil inside of you. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're saying out your mouth. That means you got a what? You got a demon. And saints, we need to know how to deal with demons. Huh? I can't cure people with demons. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can cure you from a demonic possession. Right? I'm only telling you what Jesus said. And I'm telling you how Jesus deal with them devils. He don't let them talk.
Yeah. He said, don't let the devils speak because they knew him.
Well, isn't that something? That's why I say, you have Jesus inside of you. This is how you deal with the devil. You take them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't keep talking to them. Right. Don't keep trying to counsel them. You cannot counsel Satan.
No.
Satan means death all day long.
Right.
You can't counsel. That's like you trying to. Somebody that you know want to commit suicide. They got a demon inside of them. Only thing you can tell them is, you in your life, you're going to go to hell. That's all you can say to them. You in your life, you're going to go to hell. Now, you got a choice. It's, I don't care. I don't want to live. I don't want to. It's the devil inside of you. And the only one that can cure them from that demonic possession is Jesus. That's because they need medicine. I don't care how much medicine they take. Medicine don't cure devils.
Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you.
If medicine cured devils, the world would have found a pill years ago.
Jesus.
Only one that can cure a demonically possessed person is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad y'all, I ain't even tend to go into this, but it's the truth. I want you to understand the concept when the Lord say he heals you of all your diseases. Huh? Depression? The Lord will heal you from that. That's a demonic possession. That is a pure demon inside of your brain making you feel bad when you should feel good. You ask me, what in the world you feeling sad about? No, not just everything. It's making me sad. What you mean? I don't understand that. What are you sad about? You have, in other words, you really look at them, they have nothing to be sad about. They're not homeless. They have food. Huh? They're not homeless. Such and such left me. Well, maybe they needed to leave you. Maybe you need to be by yourself. I don't want to be. Everybody got somebody. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to have him. Maybe you get Jesus. Maybe he'll take care of all of your loneliness. True? You say, oh, you ain't going to tell them they need a new wife? Or no? No, they don't. They don't. Because first of all, you're going to mess up somebody else's life. You depressed because of loneliness. You're going to mess up my life. And say, I'm a nice young man that got a good brain, and you depressed and lonely. You say, I think the Lord brought you into my life. No, that was not Jesus that brought you into your life. Because, you see, your depression and loneliness is a demon. And see, once you come in, I don't have that demon. But once I come and connect with you, that demon inside of you is going to be attacking me. And now both of us are standing at risk of being possessed by this depressed demon. Now, I'm going to wonder why I'm feeling depressed, and I wasn't feeling depressed before I got to you. But because what was in you done got in me, now both of us are depressed. That's demons for you, right? So you got to be careful about that. Huh? It's a little bit different than saying somebody's in sin. Some people are in sin and they got something else. So it's not just sin. They got something else inside of them, according to Jesus. Now, Elder Scudder, I did not write this text. If they just had sin, Jesus would have just left it at that. He said, I would have healed them from their sickness and their divers diseases. But he also said they were possessed by the devil. They had the devil inside of them. Come on, go get 3 and 10. Yes, my time is done. Jesus. Well, yeah, he healed many. All they wanted was the Lord to do what? All they wanted was the Lord to touch them. See, that's what we're doing. When you come in here for service, we're trying to get you to the point where you, when the Lord touches you, you keep on going with them. Don't stop by the Lord come by and move on you. That's what I tell folk all the time. Some people feel the presence of the Lord. Lord, move on you. Beautiful. Don't stop, though. You keep on saying, Jesus, I want more of it. What do you mean I want more? I don't want the Lord just to touch me. I want him to actually come and fill me up. I want the Lord to dwell down on the what? Inside of me. Many folk leave out of service. Say, oh, service was beautiful. Lord really moved. Lord really touched my mind. And I'm trying to tell you, don't be satisfied with that. You don't want to be content until Jesus actually does what? Lives inside of you. Why? Because when you go out there in that world, you're going to be dealing with something that's real strong. Huh? And you need to have greater inside of you. Greater than those demons. Greater than those sinful temptations. The scripture says, greater is he that is what? In you. See, Jesus needs to be way in you than he that is in that world. Right? Did y'all finish reading 3 and 10?
Oh, yes. Touch him as many as had plagues.
Yeah, these folks had plagues, okay? Now, the next one, This is my time. This is going to have to be my last one. I'll give you the rest of the scriptures, but this is going to have to be my last one because of the time. The Lord said he redeems your life from destruction. Huh? How can you testify about that until you're born again?
Right.
It takes you knowing you are on a road to destruction to know that Jesus pulled you off of that road. And I mean self-destruction. Wasn't nobody destroying you but you.
Right.
You were your worst enemy
right.
because of the choices and the decisions that you made.
Right.
But you realize it was the grace and mercy of Jesus that pulled me off of that road of destruction.
Right.
Put my feet on a street called straight.
Right.
Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. That was a beautiful testimony from my brother Jones. He told you all the lifestyle that he lived, what it did to his body. He got the one, the war wounds to show you. You get personal with him, he'll show it to you. Say that, look, don't you go show nobody and tell nobody, but I'm going to show you what sin will do to you. Huh? Sin leaves a mark on you, doesn't it? Sin leaves a mark on you. And you better let that mark be your witness. Say, do not go back into it. Huh? Sin mean to kill you. That brother tell you he testified they sent him home to die. That's a bad thing, isn't it? Somebody tell you ain't nothing more we can do for you. Send him home to just die. But what Jesus showed you his grace and his mercy. That he is a healer. Huh? Oh yeah, the Lord will heal. If you sincerely want healing, the Lord will do it for you. He will do it for you. What, did I give y'all scripture? Matthew 17, 15, and 18. Now this is the Lord redeeming your life from destruction.
Matthew 17,
15,
and 18.
15 and 18.
Lord, have mercy on my son.
You can read through. This is that boy that was possessed. Read a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic.
What was he? come on, saints, y'all understand. That's somebody cuckoo. He's a lunatic. How you know he's a lunatic? Can you read them all?
For all time, he falls into the fire.
Ain't that something?
And off into the water.
Ain't that something? That brother don't know one of that demon don't know whether he wants you to burn or drown.
Right.
But all he knows is he wants you to die, right? That's why you can't play around with the devil.
Yeah.
All he wants you is to die.
Yeah.
Whether it be by burning or drowning.
Yeah.
That's why I tell you, when that devil get through with you, you're gonna have war wounds.
Yeah,
but you need to let those war wounds be a reminder.
Right.
Anytime you start to think, well, maybe I can go back out there and the devil. Maybe you need to just take your clothes on off and look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And say, oh, Jesus. This devil wasn't playing with me. Here is the evidence. You ain't got to ask nobody. You ain't got to talk. Look at yourself.
Right. That's right.
Here's the evidence of what that devil was trying to do to me. You know what that scripture say there? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So that devil wasn't playing with this little boy, this young man. The scripture said his daddy called him a what? A lunatic. Now you know you bad when your own parents call you crazy. That's what I tell folk all the time. When your own mom and your daddy don't want to deal with you, I don't know what to say. I had a situation like that with a young lady. I said, well, why don't you go back home? My mother don't want you. Somebody said, you know, you pretty bad. Your own mother don't want you. You must be pretty bad. And sure enough, it was true. She was a piece of work. She was unworkable.
Right.
See, when you got a child that's not really willing to be submissive to their own mom and their daddy, what makes you think they're going to be submissive to you? The mother and father birthed them. You ain't birthed them. They don't owe you nothing. But maybe when they're dealing with them, it'll click in their mind about something that their mom and dad did for them. But when they're dealing with you, ain't nothing going to click. They'll kill you quick. Somebody that's off in their head, they'll take your blessing from you Here you is trying to be a blessing. You ain't never seen people do that?
Yes.
Here's somebody trying to help them. They go on and kill them anyway. Mm-hmm. Man said, give me your money. Give me your money. Well, the person that is being robbed don't know that they're dealing with someone possessed by a devil. The man gives him the money that they have, and he still shoots him. So that means that man was going to kill him whether he gave him something or not. That's a possessed person. That's somebody that's crazy in their mind. So this is what this father was saying. He said, my son is a lunatic. Huh? In other words, my son won't even listen to me anymore. Isn't that a bad thing? You know, as a parent, if anybody should be getting across to your children, it should be you. That's why mothers, sometimes when the people are married, you know, they go back and go say, I'm going to go tell your mama. I'm going to tell your mama what you're doing. I'm going to tell your daddy what you're doing. Because then mom and daddy can kind of work with them and say, well, you know you shouldn't talk to so-and-so like that. You shouldn't treat them like that. I didn't raise you that way. Well, but mom, but dad, you know, but see, I didn't raise you that way. I don't care what they say, what they did. You were raised better than that. You go on back and say, you get yourself on over there and act like you're supposed to act. I'm going to go tell them your mom and your dad. But see, this young man was, he was beyond that. His daddy couldn't even work with him. His daddy called him what? A lunatic. And he was what? Sore vexed. See, sometimes he falls into the fire.
Yeah. And
often. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brought him to your disciples.
And they could not.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't help you. I'm just a disciple of Jesus. I'm not the healer. I'm not the deliverer. Right. Keep going.
Then Jesus asked
him,
that old faithful.
Yeah.
How long should I be with you and should I suffer you?
Bring him to who?
Me.
That's right. You need to be brought to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is the only one that can help you.
Right.
Keep going.
And Jesus refused.
What did Jesus say? Now, see, the people don't like those kinds of words.
No, they don't.
They don't like those words. They don't like those kind of phrases. They say, well, let me counsel you. Let's talk about it. Let's just have a one-on-one session. Jesus ain't no one-on-one session. Jesus said, I'm going to rebuke that devil. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, the devil cannot be negotiated with. There is no counseling someone that is possessed by a devil. You got to know when to just cut the strings off.
Yeah.
Huh? Y'all see it? Y'all, you all have been witnesses to it.
Yeah.
Huh? Many people with questions say, why you do something? Because I saw what was in the person. They had a pure devil inside of them. And that devil wanted to control. Huh? And it was time for that devil to be what? Rebuked. Huh? What do you mean rebuked? You're not welcome here anymore. Huh? No, I didn't put the person out. I put the devil out.
Right. Yep.
And when the person want to stop making a home for the devil to live in, the person can come back.
Right.
But as long as the devil feel welcome, that's how you know what repentance means. No.
Right.
And that person can find repentance.
Right.
But they got to want it. You got to want this.
Yeah.
Nobody can force this on you. Read a little bit more. I think we almost done.
And he departed out of
the room. That's after the Lord rebuked that devil.
Right.
Then what happened?
He departed out of him. And the child was cured.
What happened when Jesus made that devil come out?
Cured.
There wasn't no medicine. Not one pill was taken.
Mm-hmm.
All it took was Jesus rebuking that devil.
Yeah.
And when that devil came out, then the child was what? Cured. Huh? He was cured when? That very hour. Keep going.
And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we have?
Now, that was a sign to let you know that they were operating in their selves. Huh? That's what I tell you. There's no room for self in this work. You got to get out of it. A person must be willing to do what? Deny them. How do you know they were in their cells? First of all, why didn't they ask Jesus why they was in front of the man? They were too full of their pride. Huh? The scripture says that when they what did they do to Jesus? Read that verse again. Back up here. No, that verse when they said after he came out, he was cured. Mm-hmm. Then the disciples.
And then the disciples came with Jesus apart.
See?
So that means crowd was here. Jesus, Jesus. Disciples waiting until Jesus got to death. Were nobody looking? Were nobody listening? Jesus, why we couldn't do that?
That's self for you. That's self. That's flesh. Jesus said, this kind can come forth no other way.
Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief.
So what is self cause?
If ye have faith as a grain of mustard,
yeah,
you should say
to this mountain, what?
Into yonder place,
yep.
And it shall be removed.
Keep going.
Nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Yes.
Albeit this kind.
This kind. What? This is when we're, so when we're telling you to get out of yourself, the only way you can get out of yourself is through what? Fasting and prayer. You got to deny it. You got to deny self. Self wants to do all of these worldly things.
Right.
It wants to watch television, wants to get on the phone, wants to socialize, wants to be in this, wants to be. But you've got to, when you're fasting, you have to do what? Deny.
Right.
You have to push self hell.
Damn.
You got to push self down. That's why we say when you're fasting days, it's not just not eating.
Right.
It's not just not drinking. Mm-hmm. You've got to deny all of the worldly stuff. Turn the television off. Turn the social stuff off.
Yeah.
You got to remove yourself from all of those things and saturate your mind with nothing but who? Jesus. You got to do that. That's the only way it is effective. That's what the Lord just says, how be it this kind, right?
Goeth not out,
but by what?
Prayer and fasting.
So think about these things. I am done. Let me give you all the rest of these scriptures just for your notes. I didn't get a chance to get to them just because of the time, and I don't want to try your patience. If you go now, that was the third one, the third benefit, right? 15 and 18, that was the third benefit, redeeming thy life from destruction. The fourth benefit is he crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's going to be John 15 and 13, John 15, 13. That's what the Lord says. Greater love have no man than this, and the man laid down his life for his friend. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. The last benefit, it says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagle. That's going to be Isaiah 58:11 with John 6:4-14. Again, Isaiah 58:11 with John 6:4-14. Okay? So understand this, saints. These are the benefits of the new birth. These are the benefits of the new birth. This is why being born again is so important. It's not something that you can just devalue. Can't just say, oh, it's an option. No. You want to be able to partake in all of these benefits that the Lord has in store for those that are born again. And you notice none of those benefits had anything to do with your pocket. Whereas the world would make you focus on what? None of those benefits had nothing to do with your pocket. But it did have something to do with the quality of your life. The quality of your actual life. So think about that. Jesus views blessings different than the world does, saints. Always remember that, okay? Trust you all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin.